Well, I don't know about you, but that is kind of the quintessential Christmas passage. In fact, we often think of it because of a Charlie Brown's Christmas, right? It's one of the phrases that Lionel uses, right, as he describes what the true meaning of Christmas is. And for good reason, right? It has so much packed within it about who Christ is and what his coming means and who we are to him. And it paints for us this incredible picture of the shepherds out in the field, right? Of this glorious starry night, of the shepherds standing there and the angels appearing and singing and their song reverberating off the mountaintops, adding to the cacophony of sounds that's happening that evening, and just this glorious picture of the Christmas night. Well, maybe not. I mean, have you ever actually thought about this? The shepherds, right, they were out in the middle of the field at the night watch. These guys, they aren't probably singing hymns in the middle of the field when the angel bursts through the sky like the Kool-Aid man, right? And I mean, they're probably terrified at this point. I mean, this creature shows up before them in the glory of God, and they probably were terrified also because they probably were talking about some unholy things when the angel showed up. But the first people to hear of the birth of the Messiah are these lowly shepherds. The shepherds who actually more often than not were not allowed in the temple. The shepherds that were more often than not allowed even in the town because they smelled so bad. And we've all kind of heard the phrase, they swear like sailors. Well, in that time, it would have been they swear like shepherds because these were a rough and tumble group of people. And yet, this is who God chooses to make his announcement to. Not to the royal family, not to the court officials, not to the Pharisees or the teachers of the law, not to any of the major officials at all, but to a lowly group of blue-collar shepherds in the middle of the night, in the early part of Christmas morning. And yet it's such a perfect setting because the announcement of the one who would go to the lowly throughout his ministry, the one who would call himself the Good Shepherd, is announced to shepherds. And in fact, the location at where this happens holds significant as well, because the Judean countryside was used for shepherding for generations. In fact, the King David was a shepherd in these very fields generations before. And now, one even greater than David is here. And so the angels we have heard on high, they show up in verse 9 of the reading for this morning. And when they do, they show up in glory, right? With colors shining around them, more than likely. I mean, it must have been one heck of a sight. And yet, the shepherds are cowering in fear because they probably are worried, like we mentioned, that they're going to be struck down and not that good news is coming. And this is actually what happens every time an angel shows up in the Bible. Every time an angel shows up, the people who they show up to cower in fear. And yet the first words out of the angel's mouth is, "Do not fear. Don't be afraid." And then the second thing he says is, "I bring tidings to you of great joy this morning." So not of condemnation, but of joy. But what really is this joy that the angel brings to us and to the shepherds this Christmas morning? Because we all know that happinesses can be really fragile and fleeting. And so if joy is just a culmination of different happinesses, well then, you know, the angel can keep it. Because we really don't need one more happiness thing in our lives these days. But joy and happiness are not the same thing. Joy is long-suffering and underneath our circumstances, not based on our circumstances, like our happiness tends to be. And so the angel makes this pronouncement of great joy, the joy of a Savior who would come, that we are not on our own anymore. And then he says that this great joy would be for all people. And I looked it up. The word joy in the Greek language, or not joy, the word all in the Greek language, it literally means all. So it's for all people. It's not just for the shepherds, not just for the Jewish people, but for all people. So this Christmas morning for you and for me. But the shepherds at this point, they're not quite sure what to do with this information yet. And so the angel says, "Well, I'll give you a sign to show you that this joy is actually true and has come for you." He says, "There will be a child lying in a manger. And he is the one that will bring great joy." And so, how are the shepherds supposed to find this child? They're just supposed to wander through the town and look for the baby who was there? Well, the angel says, "You'll know it is him because he'll be wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And, I mean, who puts a child in a manger? But yet, God chose this way to come so that we might see his glory brought down to the lowly, to the lowliness of a servant who would come for us. And that's how they would know that they had found the true King. And so, before the shepherds could actually turn to leave, to go down and find the child, the skies are filled with angels. Now, if they were terrified at one angel, what do you think they were doing when the sky was filled with them? And the angels that show up, they begin to praise God. And the word for praise here is only used of God. So they are praising both God in glory for what he has done, but also God in the lowly who is now here with us. And so we could have the argument this morning as to whether or not the angels really do sweetly sing over the plains. means. Because the passage here simply says that they praised God. But I don't know about you, but praise often includes singing. And so either way, no matter which way we divide it, the real point is that there is something worth giving praise for in this moment. Something worth filling the sky with angels for in this moment. And it's a weird kind of situation because it happens to maybe a half a dozen shepherds in the middle of a field at night. But what an incredible display that was. I mean, it would be kind of like if Disney created a $6 billion movie and then only six people got to see it. But that's what God chose to do. He chose to show himself, to make the proclamation of the coming Messiah to but a handful, and to show them that he cared even for them, to this group of people that typically wouldn't have been allowed in the temple, as we mentioned. I mean, you don't become a shepherd because you're a really devout person. And yet, God came even to them. And look, I don't know what brings you here this morning. Maybe it's just Christmas morning and this is a good place to be, or maybe a friend or family member dragged you along with them this morning. But you see, when those angels showed up in the multitudes, they not only bring joy, but now they say, they also bring God's peace upon all for whom his favor rests. And so maybe your question this morning, especially if somebody dragged you with them, is God's peace really for me? Because I really don't feel like sometimes that his favor rests on me. And if his favor doesn't rest on me, then is there peace for me? And yet the child who would come is ultimately the one on whom God's favor would rest, on whom God would look and find peace with him so that he would have peace with you. And so that's the good news of Christmas morning. That we can't do this on our own, but God sent to us someone who can. Which makes you right and me right before God, even this morning. But you're like, I feel more like one of the shepherds, one of the grimy ones, one of the lowly more often than I don't. But the good news again of Christmas morning is that you cannot out-sin the grace of that child. In fact, the scripture is full of people who have out-sinned you. Moses strangled a man with his bare hands. The king who was the shepherd David would one day sleep with another man's wife and then have him killed to cover it up. And Rahab, the great, 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 great grandmother of Jesus, was a prostitute. And you're probably like, Vicar, it's Christmas morning. And you're right, it is. Merry Christmas. But the God who came for them came for you. He sent Christ who would not only wash over all of their sins, but would also wash over all of your sins. And so you cannot out-sin the grace of that child. It's been meant for you. And so then now, what do we do? If the grace is really for us, even this morning, where do we go from here? And so we can look back at the shepherds and what they did and what happened to them. Because as quickly as the angels appeared, they left. And so what do the shepherds do? Do they start clapping and go, "Encore, bravo, bravo," and then just go back to their flocks? No. These shepherds, upon whom the pronouncement has been made, probably looked wide-eyed at each other, whooped and hollered, and took off running into Bethlehem, into this village to find this child, potentially with a herd of sheep following behind them, wondering where their shepherds were going. And then with joy and excitement, did they burst through the doors of the manger to find the child? Or did they pause at the door in reverence and respect and kind of peek in to see the couple holding this child? But they went to see for themselves. They went to find that it was true. And Mary and Joseph sitting there had to have been shocked when shepherds came through the door. I mean, wouldn't you have been? We all freak out when somebody rings the doorbell and we don't know who is there. And yet all were welcome that morning at the manger. And all are welcome here this morning to this good news. Because our hymn for this morning invites us to come to Bethlehem and see. To see what? Christ the Lord, who would be King. And to put aside for a moment all of the things that are going on and just to kneel at the foot of the manger and know that the child that was there would one day be the Messiah and was the Messiah who we could lay before our weights and our burdens and our cares. Because we know something the shepherds don't. We have the rest of the story. We know that the angels would show up again one day, and this time they would actually announce he wasn't where they thought he was going to be. That he wasn't in the tomb. That he had raised from the dead and with his rising brought new life. And so new life this morning and new life that morning. From the lowly to the glory. And this good news of Jesus, it's contagious. Verse 17 from the passage this morning reads like this. When they, the shepherds, had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. We've been telling this story now for 2,000 years because it holds the same weight this morning as it did that morning. And then the story ends, right? And the shepherds just live happily ever after. Well, maybe they do. We actually don't know. But what we do know is that they didn't stay in Bethlehem. They went back to their flocks. They went back to work. But they did so glorifying and praising God. The hymn this morning in the refrain resounds Gloria in excelsis Deo, which is Latin for glory to God in the highest. It was the words from their mouth as they left, as they praised God for all that they had just seen, for this good news that had come to them. Because Christmas morning and the good news of this morning is actually not just for this morning. It goes with us when we go from here. The good news of great joy and peace is not just for while you're in church. It's for every part of our lives. When we leave here this morning, we're still shepherds. We're still nurses and teachers and craftsmen and lawyers, and the list goes on. We're still sons and daughters and brothers and uncles, and the list goes on. And in each of those things, this morning we have a new perspective on how to carry them out. Because we take this story with us into the rest of our stories. The Savior that came that morning has come for all of our mornings and all of the times that go before us. And so we find ourselves beginning to ask the question, who is this good news for? As we leave from this place, as we carry it on our lips, in a moment we're going to sing another great Christmas hymn, which is Go Tell It on the Mountain. And the question kind of becomes, do we really go tell this story from the mountaintop? Like drive up to Big Bear and find a mountain? And no, but honestly, this morning we've had a chance to kneel before the manger, at the joy and the peace of a Savior who came for us, who changes our lives. And then who do we go tell? Because this world is full of people who need to hear that joy, and not just another momentary happiness. Is it the people at your Starbucks who need to hear it? Or maybe at the McDonald's where you get your breakfast each morning? Or maybe at your office where the guy next to you can just see the weight on his shoulders. And you can see that he just needs a word of joy, and You can bring that even this morning, because you leave with the joy in you, knowing that you can't do this on your own. You weren't meant to. That's why the Savior came. And so my hope for us this morning is that as we leave, we might also sing Gloria for all that Christ has done. Christ, this newborn King. Amen. Let's pray.